Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 11th, 2006. This week, we'll tell you about scientists doing research to improve video games and answer a question about why snow is opaque while water's clear. But first, Batman and Knight Rider have cars they can chat with. But reporter Chelsea Wall tells us in real life, the day may come sooner when cars can talk to each other.
Science Update listener Dan Rico of Bethany, Connecticut asks if it would be possible to make cars that communicate with each other. Well, Dan, it's not only possible, it's in the works in car companies worldwide. Raj Rajkumar is the co-director of the General Motors Carnegie Mellon Collaborative Research Laboratory. He says the technology works like Wi-Fi for wireless computing. People might use it to get traffic updates or even share music, but he says its biggest benefit will be safety.
Basically, if the car in front of you is braking hard, that information can be communicated to your car. And if you as the driver are distracted, the car can warn you about the braking ahead. And if you're not responding soon enough, it can even brake on your behalf.
He says you can expect to see it in some new cars in about 5 years. Of course, if a science question is driving you crazy, you should call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it on our website at www.scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug, like listener Dan Rico. Dan, if you're listening, your mug is in the mail.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, gas isn't the only commodity that's rising in price. Skyrocketing zinc prices mean that each penny costs the U.S. Mint nearly a cent and a half to make. So should we eliminate it? Reporter Justin Warner has the story.
Recently, Congressman Jim Colby of Arizona introduced legislation to retire the penny and round all cash purchases to the nearest nickel. Others before him have tried this and failed, and although it now costs the government more than a penny to make a penny, the idea still isn't especially popular with voters. One common pro-penny argument is that shoppers would get shortchanged by the rounding since so many prices end in 99 cents. To check this out, Wake Forest University economist Robert Waples analyzed a week's worth of records from a convenience store chain operating in seven states, over 200,000 transactions in all.
I found, in fact, that rounding would slightly benefit consumers. They wouldn't get ripped off at all. I also looked at a comparison of a store in a richer neighborhood of my city, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and a store in a poorer neighborhood, found basically the same result.
That's based on the fact that the proposed law would round only the final bill, not individual sticker prices. And even if many of those prices end in 99, the total purchase usually doesn't, because most transactions include more than one item, or sales tax, or both. As for our psychological attachment to the penny, Waples notes that we were able to separate from the halfpenny in 1857, which at the time was worth 1/18 of the minimum wage.
Now compare that to today with a minimum wage. 1/18 of the minimum wage is actually right around a quarter, slightly more than a quarter. And so getting rid of the half penny back there in 1857, sort of the equivalent of getting rid of the quarter in today's economy. They seem to weather that transaction pretty well.
What's more, by comparing our average earnings per second with the time we spend sorting, counting, and fishing through pennies, he's calculated that ditching the penny could save Americans up to $300 million a year.
Thanks, Justin. Well, video games are chock full of information. Storylines, character traits, maps, scores, to name just a few. But is all that information really getting across to players? Reporter Chelsea Wall tells us about new research that addresses that question.
You're about to fight Onyxia, the broodmother of the Black Dragonflight. But wait! Purdue graduate student April Savoy has some questions for you.
Did you feel that you were informed before playing the game about what the storyline would be and what the objectives of the game are? Were you aware of your score while you were playing the game? Were you aware of the weapons that you could use or the different options? Did the information provided give you hints or clues as to what you could do next or how you can get out of the situation that you're currently in?
Players often can't answer such questions because of the poor quality of information in video and computer games. That's why she and her colleagues are creating a new scientific questionnaire that test players would take during a game's development. It would tell developers whether information is presented well on everything from installation to final score. With video games finding medical, military, and educational uses, the research could become increasingly important.
Thanks, Chelsea, and good luck in your quest to defeat Onyxia. In other news, obesity researchers would like to know why people overeat when they're stressed out, but they can't use lab rats to study the problem. When they're stressed, they stop eating and get skinny. Now scientists have discovered that Syrian hamsters, like people, pig out when they're stressed and put on extra fat around their middles. Georgia State University scientists are now studying these hamsters to discover new ways to battle the weight gain. In other weight-related news, University of Florida researchers have found that cutting just a few calories from a rat's diet can significantly reduce age-related cell damage. Other research had shown that big cuts in calories would slow aging, but this study trimmed their diet by only 8%. In humans, that would mean cutting just about 200 calories. Finally, with this summer's heat wave, you may be daydreaming about drifts of cool snow, maybe skiing through newly fallen powder. That may be what inspired this question from one of our listeners.
It comes from Jim Pomeroy from Arlington, Virginia. He asks why snow is white when water and ice are clear. After all, it is all just H2O. Well, Jim, we turn to Virginia Tech chemist Joe Mirola. He tells us it has to do with surfaces. A light beam passing through a tank of water or a nearly perfect block of ice encounters one fairly smooth surface going in and one fairly smooth surface going out, so it moves in a relatively straight line, and the material appears clear. But Mirola says a beam passing through a snowflake encounters lots of little rough surfaces.
And so when light hits it, that light does not pass through. That light does not nicely reflect off like a mirror, but that light gets scattered all over the place, and we see that as an opaque white.
White, of course, being the color of sunlight, which is what the snow is scattering.
Thanks, Chelsea. This podcast was supported in part by the Delta Science and Everyday Experiences Initiative. Parents and caregivers can get tips on informal science education for kids at www.deltasee.org. And remember to visit our website at www.scienceupdate.com and submit your science question. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.